Hour number two on this Tuesday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, live from MTSU Media Days here in Murfreesboro. Teron Davenport back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are now joined by head coach Derek Mason of the Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders. He's got his donut. He's feeling good this morning. There's nothing like a good donut. We said it in the break, so feeling good.
First of all, good morning, Jake and Teron. Look, I'm in this space, and I want to tell you, they brought me a maple glazed donut, man, from Donut Country. Proudly serving Murfreesboro for over 40 years. Okay, shameless plug.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I love a good donut. So anytime you come off the field, donut and coffee, I'm in.
I love it. Yeah. And it looked like you guys had a good practice today.
Yeah,
how you felt about the first couple days in pads for your team?
You know what? It's been great. This group has done exactly what we set out to do. We talked about just looking to win days, and you do that by, you know, quality of reps, not quantity.
Yep.
Right? You have to come out, and you have to perform the way you need to perform, and you're going to make some mistakes. Right, but those are lessons or losses. Okay, you figure out how you want to see them. I want to see them as lessons because we don't want to make the same mistake twice. Right, and so what they've done in this is just work towards winning days. And when you win days, okay, you start to stack those things. You put yourself in a position to sort of go find some success in. Right now, like that's where we're at. They're getting better every day, and I love it.
We talked to your quarterback Nick Vadiato earlier, yeah. And I mean, to see a guy stay in one place for 5 years, it just doesn't happen in college football these days. In year two of your leadership in this program, how important has he been as just a key piece and a captain for your team?
Well, we're like twins. I mean, like to be honest, you know, we're and I say that because our personalities are very similar. Like to be honest, we're born on the same day, you know, September 29th. So we're kindred spirits, right? And I spent a lot of time with Nick. We've gotten a chance to know each other. You know, he was recruited by Coach Stock and had a very strong relationship with Coach Stock. I think our relationship, you know, is equally as important because I understand what he's trying to do, right? And he wants to win, and he wants to bring this place to a place that it hasn't been in a while. And in order to do that, as a head coach, you need a quarterback. As a quarterback, man, you need a head coach who has the vision and sort of like the chops to help get you, we, us, from where we are to where we want to go. And I think that sort of stands out about Nick. It's games played. It's willingness to stay in this program when other people courted you and said that maybe, okay, you need to go someplace else. But him and his family were resolute that this place, this building, this place, this facility – had his name written all over it, and he wanted to end it here. So what we got to do is make him right.
Gotta love that loyalty, Coach. One of the things that I always notice, right, music and football is always intertwined. Like, I was a guy, man, I used to listen to Aaliyah, One in a Million, Brian McKnight, Crazy Love. Like, slow music used to get me hype. I know you got the music background. You're a DJ. What's on the playlist before you get out there on the field?
You know what? It continues to change, right? I'm listening to, like, a lot of folks. But today when I came into the building, like, to be honest, I was bumping Mobb Deep.
Oh!
You know?
I knew there's a reason why I liked you. There's a reason why I always liked you.
I was bumping Mobb Deep. You know what? I went back. You know, I came out of the house, and I was like, man, like, what's on the playlist? And I went to my Mobb Deep Essentials, and let me tell you something. Those beats, man, Prodigy, what they were doing over those beats, man, it brought me into the building today. So I must have bumped five straight Mobb Deep songs getting from the carport, man, to the new facility. So, like, today, man, I'm repping hard Mobb Deep. Let's go.
Man, I love that. You got me ready to get out of my chair and run out there and see if I could give you a couple routes.
Come on, man. You got something for me, man. Come get this action.
No doubt about it. But being in year two, right, and having guys familiar with your approach, with your program, with your scheme, how much different can that be this year, you know, and help you bounce back from the 3-9 record last year?
I think everything was so new, right? You had so many new pieces, new coaching staff, new schemes, players having to adapt and adjust. I think that's what we saw. The retention of the 49 players that we had, those guys were top-tier players, and we had to put a crew of 30 young freshmen around them and then acquisition guys who fit the prerequisites of what we were looking for, the production that we needed. So I think that's been the most important thing, right? Year two, it's less guessing. You know, like we get into the good part. You know, I mean, like that old Houdini, when we going to get to the good part? We start to get to the good part because these guys, like, come into the building. They know what they're getting from Coach Mason. They know what they're getting from Coach Stu, Coach Reeder, right? That's important as an older player to understand what the standard and expectation is in making sure that you can, like, invest in the culture, okay, the day-to-day progress to get from where we are to where we're trying to go.
We're sitting right in front of the Stephen and Denise Smith Student Athlete Performance Center.
Yeah.
Brand new. I was looking into the weight room named for Kevin Byard as we walked in, and it looks state of the art. And I'm sure that means a whole lot to your program to see that investment from donors, from the administration, and everything that goes into making a facility that's perfect for what you're trying to build here in Murfreesboro.
Man, this facility is for the MTSU family. It's for the Middle Tennessee, you know, family. And we have a lot of things that happen here at MTSU. You know, from high school and college graduations, from other institutions to our own space. This is a shared experience, right? It is for our student athletes, but all the way around, it's about the enhancement of the in-game, you know, experience. And I think that's what's super cool, to come into a space, man, that's state-of-the-art. It affects nutrition. It affects recovery. It affects development all the way around. And that's where the student-athlete is now. There's two things they care about. Three things. They care about winning. They care about NIL. And they care about, okay, their journey. And this building encompasses, you know, what they want in the journey. They want to be developed. They want to make sure that they can be housed the right way in terms of recovery. And we hit it on the mark. Had this building been built a couple of years ago, some pieces wouldn't be here that are here today. And I think that's a testament to the vision of the board, the vision of Dr. McPhee, of Chris, and everybody else who were involved in this exercise. Larry Maples, who's not here, Eric Bartlett, who's not here, shout out to him because everybody poured into this space.
Have you already seen recruits get excited about this? I mean, getting to see these facilities. I read that you have a PlayStation in your office to play video games against them. How much does that help you on the recruiting trail to bring people in there? And they like, it's one thing to show the drawings and everything of what it's going to be, but to show them this actual building, how exciting is that?
You know what? It's extremely exciting, right? I think, you know, where we are now, and you talk about the PlayStation, right? The PlayStation, I'm building offense and defense, so when guys come in there, I can talk them through, okay, like somebody, like, okay, not just the stadium, but how much football do they know?
I love it.
You gotta meet student athletes where they are nowadays, right? And that's my PlayStation. Okay, like my children gave that to me, so I just think that was the right place for it. But I do believe, like, now, where we're at, what we have facility-wise, what we're doing, like, with our student-athletes and how we're recruiting, it looks different. They love online. The experience has been good. Some have tried to, come. But right now, man, we're in this state where you can't have student-athletes on your campus.
Yep.
So the best thing that we can do is continue to push it out. But when these guys come here for game visits in the fall, they'll surely be astonished by what's inside this building.
Coach, you talk about meeting athletes where they are, student athletes where they are nowadays.
Right.
A part of that NIL, man, like, how much does that turn your job as a coach during the season to, hey, I got to recruit my own guys over and over and over again so they don't move on to elsewhere?
Yeah, you know, like, that's the landscape, right, of college football. So I don't see it as a hindrance. I just see it as part of it. Right. That's what we have to do. OK, man, we have to show our student athletes why this is still the place for them. And, you know, if they choose to move on, man, you can't be mad or upset.
Yeah.
It is about development. Group of Five programs are developmental programs. So, I mean, if you do it right, it actually gives you a leg up because you can go get the next Amari Kelly. You can get the next Holden Willis. Right. And I think that's the important thing. I mean, you got to live in the things that are important, not the things that sort of will drive you crazy in this.
How much does that in turn stress the culture building aspect and making sure that it's fun for these guys and they're engaged and everything?
Well, you have to understand where we've been, right? Like, we're a program in the last couple of years, man, we hadn't had a home. We sort of felt like nomadic a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we met everywhere. And now to really have a home, to see guys in their team room, to see guys in their player lounge, to see guys like in the meeting rooms. You know, like you used to go by and you used to see players in coaches' offices because there was no place else to go. Okay, and our office only holds maybe two or three dudes. Now, I mean, I walk by meeting rooms, and I'm talking about within 45 minutes after practice, after these guys have showered and grabbed some food, they're in their own player rooms, and they're hitting the tape. Mm-hmm. That's culture building. That's team building. That's football building. That's increasing the IQ. So to me, this has been a gift like no other, because we do feel like we're a different team, but when you have a home, man, you can work hard on the brotherhood. Because being a teammate is not the way to win, okay? Having a brotherhood sort of pushes that thing over the top. We want good teammates, but we much rather have a culture of brotherhood, man, that sort of pushes and that holds guys accountable for what the legacy of MTSU football is.
Last one for you, Coach. I can't believe we are just over 3 weeks away from football season getting underway.
Let's go!
It's crazy. It sneaks up on us every year. What can fans expect to see from this year's edition of the Blue Raiders?
Well, we definitely want to be a better version of ourselves. We want to be physical. We want to be able to put up points. I think we've acquired talent that's going to allow us to score. Man, we got to get critical stops, man. We want to be a physical, tough, and intelligent team. We were one of the most penalized teams in Conference USA a year ago. And all those things, you know, are benchmarks for us. Okay, they all give us an opportunity to win more games, right? So let's just focus on the days. Let's get better in the spaces that we can. And when those days can actually, the tapestry sort of gets woven and we become the team that we say like we want to become, we'll see the results on the field for sure.
Coach, thanks so much for your time. Wishing you the best of luck this season.
Thank you so much, fellas. Take care. Let's go Blue.
MTSU head coach Derek Mason joining us here on Next Man Up. We'll take a break. Be right back here on 102.5 The Game. This isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trinitix Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps mom close when it matters most, with Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat. Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you today on Next Man Up. I am out here at Floyd Stadium in Murfreesboro for MTSU Football Media Days. TD, great talking to head coach Derek Mason. You can see the vision of what he's trying to build here and the new facility and everything. I'm excited to see what the Blue Raiders are this year. I mean, if the two guys who are the leaders of your program are Derek Mason and Nick Vadiato that we've talked to today, you feel like they're in pretty good shape.
No doubt about it. And it's the energy, right? I'm a big energy and vibes guy, so I love just the way he came off and talking to him. It like makes you want to go like, yeah, you know what? I would take the field for this guy. And that's that's the feeling that you want from your coach. And, man, listen, he mentioned the Mobb Deep. I just about jumped out of my chair because MOBB, that's my squad with Wu-Tang. And, yeah, man, hip-hop, you know, it's always that get hype music, man. I really love that. And the program is in really good hands, and I just, you know, I'm going to get to some games. I definitely need to get to some, and just, again, the energy, you love to feel that and build off of it.
I thought you might hop in your car and make a trip down 24 just to come talk to Derek Mason after that comment.
Yeah, man, and, you know, here's the thing. I've always, you know, respected him from afar. I never really got to talk to him directly. I love music and I love football, you know, and he loves the same thing, so there's a common ground there. Yeah, I could have definitely gotten out of my seat. But hey, you know what? I also, we talk about music. I shout out Connor because Connor is not old enough to know about Earth, Wind, and Fire, but he put it on, you know, so it's nothing but good vibes. Got me feeling like I'm out there, you know, on the grill cooking, you know what I mean, with my sandals with the socks on. Yeah, I like that. I like that.
I love him.
There you go right there.
Easy Lover, too. That's not Earth, Wind, and Fire, but that's Philip Bailey.
Yeah, yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man. I like it. I like it.
See, Connor's an old soul at heart. He may be the youngest person at the station, but he's an old soul. On the Saturday show, like, we would talk about music, and I would feel like the young one because he's got all the knowledge there. So Connor definitely has the good music coming out of breaks. Let's get into some college football here since we're out here at MTSU for Media Days. We are less than 3 weeks away from week zero, which, you know, the sickos can enjoy week zero. Farmageddon will be fun with Kansas State, Iowa State. But week one is under 4 weeks away, coming up October 30th. And the coaches poll, the initial coaches poll, came out yesterday. TD, the first thing that I noticed is that Texas and Ohio State are 1-2, and we get them in week one. That's a game for Titans fans out there. A lot of guys that maybe you could do some window shopping ahead of the deals for the drafts in 2026. And you can watch Jeremiah Smith for 2027. It's very rare that you see the top two teams in the country play in week one, and we're going to get that this year. I hate that it's a noon game, but I'm really excited to watch that one.
Yeah, I do hate that it's a noon game, but it's definitely going to be one to watch. And there's so many you know, outstanding players returning to Ohio State. Like you mentioned, Jeremiah Smith. It's going to be a fun game to watch. There's a lot of talent. And, hey, look, we get to see the guy who everyone says – should have been the number one pick this year in Arch Manning. And it's going to be his opportunity. Now show what you could do. If you're really that guy, you're going against a team of pro-level players. Let's see how you can make a mark for yourself.
No, that is a good point. Arch Manning taking the field for the first time as the true bona fide number one starter. Obviously, he started games in place of Quinn Ewers last year. But he's taking over with all this hype around him. Man, if he lights up Ohio State and, you know, Caleb Downs is on that defense, who's going to be a top 10 pick almost guaranteed next year. If Arch Manning goes out and wins that game in the horseshoe in week one and Cam Ward is still struggling ahead of week one for the Titans against the Broncos, I'm sure we will start to get texts about, oh, you should have traded the pick. Wait for Arch Manning.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, everybody needs to have patience with all young quarterbacks, whether that's Cam Ward or Arch Manning. Even if he goes out and has a great game in week one, that doesn't mean that he's the Heisman winner. If he has a bad game, it doesn't mean he's not going to be a future NFL quarterback. But I am excited to watch that game between the Longhorns and the Buckeyes.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be an exciting one. Let me ask you this, though, because like there's different teams that – I mean, Clemson, they're ranked sixth. I think they're going to make a run. Obviously, Georgia, they're always talented. Penn State, you know, with Drew Aller coming back. But while we're talking about quarterbacks and guys who are going to be high draft picks, Lenore Sellers and South Carolina, what do you think about that team and what they could do?
Yeah, South Carolina, it feels like they're the media's sexy pick this year to be the dark horse. It's like everybody wants to pick South Carolina to make the playoff. And I don't hate it. They've got so much talent with Dylan Stewart on the defensive side of the ball. And of course, Lenore Sellers, who, if he's not the Heisman favorite, he's right behind Arch Manning or in that conversation with like Klubnik and Aller, like you mentioned. So I like South Carolina. I hate that they start against my Hokies in week one. Down in Atlanta over Labor Day weekend, and I don't think that's going to go very well for Virginia Tech in the Beamer Bowl with Shane Beamer facing his dad's former team. I really like South Carolina. There is a little bit in the back of my mind of wondering if they are just top-heavy. Like, do they have the flashy guys at the top of the roster, but maybe not the depth to compete with places like Alabama and Texas and Georgia, who not only do they have five stars at the top of their depth chart, they've got five stars sitting on the bench waiting to replace those guys. So South Carolina, I like them, but I kind of got to see it. They start the season with Virginia Tech. They got Vanderbilt early on, too. It'll be interesting to see end of September as they head into a tougher part of their schedule if that team is still ranked in the top 10 or 15.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, they have an interesting situation going on there with Rasul Faison, the Utah State transfer, the running back. You know, he 1,100 yards with Utah State last year. Coincidentally, one of my childhood friends – Rasul Stinson, who is his father. So I've known about Faison for quite some time, but he got the right now the permission to practice. He's petitioned for a seventh year. He bounced around to some different schools. So I want to see how that impacts, because he's a very talented young man. He had received fourth and fifth round grades if he would have come out last year, but he decided to come back. So let's see how that works out too.
Yeah, I have heard about this, and not that I'm not going to be an advocate for seventh year players in college football. Like, I think we're getting to the point where COVID is 5 years ago at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get back to some sort of
normalcy.
Restriction.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Whether it's 5 years to play five, which I think is the model that's being talked about, where it's, hey, you get 5 years of eligibility, but if you miss one, you don't get an extra. Like, you get 5 years and that's it. But it seems like in this scenario, he was basically told that he did have eligibility, and now the NCAA is holding it up. So I'm not 100% sure I agree with that. Like, the NCAA, it doesn't feel like they have they've turned down many waivers when it comes to eligibility lately.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see him at least get that waiver and have a chance to play, because that's a big difference for South Carolina. He's a really good player, and you put him in the backfield after they lost Rocket Sanders last year, who was really good. I think that makes the Gamecocks a lot more dangerous on the offensive side of the ball. Not to mention Nick Harbor, who hasn't really produced a whole lot, but he is an athlete. He is big and he is fast, and that's something that you want to see for the Gamecocks as a number one weapon for Lenora Sellers.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we'll see how that all works. And, you know, you look at the other side of the ball, I mean, that defense got drafted, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they have to replace a lot of those guys. Kyle Kennard, Nick, the safety, I always struggle.
Emin Wari,
yeah. He just picked off Geno Smith last week at a pick six.
Yeah, he was picked with the Titans' original second-round pick, right? That was the Seahawks traded up for him?
Yeah, exactly.
So, the South Carolina lost some stuff, but you do look at the star power on that roster and wonder if they could make a run. South Carolina, one of nine SEC teams ranked in the initial coaches poll that came out yesterday. Five other SEC teams receiving votes. Tennessee ranked 18th. Vanderbilt, one of the, I believe, close to 25 teams that receive votes outside of the poll. We will talk about the in-state teams coming up next as we get ready for a new college football season coming up in just about 3.5 weeks. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar, award-winning gourmet pizzas, handcrafted beverages, and get swept up in the thrill of live sports at Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar, your go-to spot for good times. Boomba's has locations in Nashville, Spring Hill, and Murfreesboro, so get half off a $30 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call. We've got more college football talk to round out this hour. We'll get back into the Titans coming up in the final hour of the program. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
That beat right there. Oof.
Connor's making TD a very happy man with these bumps coming back the last couple of breaks.
Yeah, I'm ready to go hit the weight room, man.
This is inspired by Coach Mason, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, we had Derek Mason. We had Nick Vadiato on here at MTSU Media Days. Great to talk with them about the upcoming Blue Raiders season. Really excited for them to get going again. Their opener is August 30th against Austin Peay right here at Floyd Stadium. TD, quickly, before we get back into college football, I know you are planning on getting tickets for Vanderbilt women's basketball this year. The SEC schedule just came out, so I'm planning out my January and February right now.
Nice.
LSU coming to Nashville January 4th, so that'll be a big one. Oklahoma and Texas back-to-back games February 9th and 12th, and then Vandy finishes the season at Tennessee, so won't play Tennessee until March 1st. I hate that they don't play twice, but that'll be a good one to end the season out in Knoxville. So mark your calendars if you're out there, and TD, of course, as I know TD's a big fan of Michaela Blake's.
Yeah, I will be in the building, right? Go see Jersey's finest.
Yes, and we're playing in Jersey this year too on Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah,
playing Michigan in the I'm blanking on the name of the tournament, but excited for that as well. To honor Martin Luther King out there in what's going to be a fun day with two games in Newark, New Jersey. Back into college football here. TD, I mentioned 9 SEC teams are ranked in the initial coaches poll. 5 other SEC teams receive votes, including Oklahoma and Missouri, who are the next 2 teams out of the poll. The only 2 SEC teams who are not who did not receive any votes in the coaches poll, Mississippi State and Kentucky. So, Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, what's going on over there?
I mean, that's ridiculous. Kentucky should be 1, undisputed.
Well, Vanderbilt got 3 votes. So, Vanderbilt is listed in the coaches poll. I believe that would put them, did I write this down? I don't know if I did. I thought I looked through and said, like, what Vandy would be ranked if they went all the way past 25. But I think it would be somewhere in the 40s. Tennessee is at 18, TD. And I understand that's a really talented team, and I'm not here to you know, talk down on Tennessee. But after losing their quarterback and, you know, you're blurring out quarterbacks in practice videos who are throwing interceptions, I don't know if 18 seems a little high. I think I would have put them maybe down into the high, like low 20s, kind of just on the edges of the poll.
Yeah, I would have probably had them a little bit lower ranked. You also look at, you know, losing James Pierce. That's a hurt piece. You know, your best pass rusher. So it's going to be pretty interesting watching how that plays out. I tell you, a team that stands out to me is I think maybe could make a mark, and that's if this quarterback could be good. And I'll admit I'm biased because I watched him in high school over there at NBA, and that's Marcel Reed and Texas A&M. I really think that they have collectively, you know, what, 2 years ago, they had one of the best classes in the nation, the recruiting classes, and I think they have a lot of talent on that roster. I want to see what a guy like him could do.
Yeah, no, I think A&M is one of the big dark horses this year that not a lot of people are talking about. I think A&M has just fallen into this category of team where everybody says, yeah, they've got the money. They're going to get talented players, but they're going to choke when it matters most, and they're not going to be able to win the big games. But I don't know. Like, it feels like they do have the quarterback, and I'm looking at their schedule right now. They do play Notre Dame in the non-conference, which is going to be tough. But their SEC schedule, in terms of what it could be, it's not too terrible. Like, they play Texas, they play LSU, but they avoid Georgia, they avoid Alabama, they don't play Tennessee, like they play South Carolina at home. Their road games are like Missouri, Arkansas. I think this is an A&M team that could be kind of on that playoff bubble when we roll around to December.
Yeah, and it's one of those teams that you want to be able to watch as a wild card, just because, again, getting back to Marcel Reed, the quarterback. And obviously, we know, at least being down here in this neck of the woods, it just means more in the SEC. But I'm sure a lot of Big Ten teams, Big Ten teams will have something to say about that. I know my guy, Sua Cravens, he does a lot of stuff for USC.
Right.
And he's big on hey, now that everybody could pay players, it's evening out. But I don't know, man. You look at all these SEC teams that are ranked, it might speak differently.
9777 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says it wasn't our QB they blurred out, it was our tight end. Media team making Vols fan base lose their minds over a prank. That is actually hilarious if they blurred out a tight end just standing in the background. Because it really did look like they wanted to hide who threw the interception. Because technically it's an open competition between Joey Aguilar, Jake Merklinger, and George McIntyre. And I guess the thought process was like, if they show Aguilar throwing a pick, Vols fans might lose their minds over, oh, Aguilar underthrew that ball by 5 yards. We need Merklinger to start. But that'd be hilarious if they just blurt out a random guy standing in the background for no reason.
Yeah, how about it?
For Vanderbilt mentioned, they got 3 votes. I think that's fair. They're definitely heading into the season. I don't know if you can put them around the top 25, but they're definitely a team that should be considered in the top 35 to 40 to 45, and we're going to find out pretty quickly with them. They play Charleston Southern in week 1, which is It's a good tune-up game. Charleston Southern is not very good. I want to say they went like 2-10 last year as an FCS school. So I don't think they're going to be much of a challenge at First Bank Stadium on August 30th. But then you've got back-to-back really tough road games. Again, I may be biased saying Virginia Tech, but like that's not a place you want to go play at night. It's not going to be an easy place to go win. And then you have to go to South Carolina the next week and face that Lenora Sellers-led team. So Vanderbilt, coming out of that three-game stretch, I think we're going to find out if this is a team that's, you know, similar to last year, going to be six wins, maybe make a bowl game, or if this is a team that can really take the next step forward and be a top 25 type of team throughout the entire season.
Well, and that's the thing. They're poised to do something along those lines. And I think, obviously, it's going to be tough, like going to Texas, going to Bama.
Right.
Those are a couple games that, you know, that could – how they play that could definitely set the tone for the season. And here's the thing. I think they're at a point now where, hey, look, being competitive is good, but you want to win those games, right? You got Diego Pavia coming on and saying, hey, look, Vandy is the next thing in college football. Well,
yep.
What better way to show than to win one of those games on the road against those level teams? And to me, you know, even though Alabama isn't as much of a top-tier team as Texas, to be able to beat Alabama at home one year, right, and then go there the next year and beat them, I think that would say a lot about the program and the way that they're able to maintain somewhat of a degree of excellence.
Yeah, I mean, it had been, as Andrew Allegretta says in our promos, for the first time in a generation they beat Alabama. To do it back-to-back years would be a huge step for Clark Lee, because I think one year is a big step for Vanderbilt. Like going 7-6 last year and putting together wins against Virginia Tech, against Alabama, against Auburn, beating Georgia Tech in the bowl game. Like that is massive, but you got to sustain it. And I think what they've done in the offseason shows that there is a commitment to sustaining this success, but you got to go do it. And that doesn't mean you have to beat Texas or Alabama on the road. That doesn't mean you have to beat LSU when they come to Vandy. But in those games, be competitive and then win the games that maybe you're favored in, whether that's Missouri or Kentucky coming in or Auburn. Like winning those games at home against teams that you would consider on your level in the SEC, that's going to be the most important thing for Clark Lee's bunch this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like I said, it's no longer, hey, we were competitive. It's we need to win the game. And I
right.
think that's the now, obviously, that's the approach that they have every time. But, you know, sometimes you look back on it and like, hey, man, you know what? I'm glad we were competitive, et cetera, et cetera. But no, now it's like, okay, I'm disgusted that we lost. You know what I mean? And that's the difference in a program getting pushed forward to where it's not good enough to be competitive. You have to win.
For Vandy fans out there, Kevin Ingram's going to join us tomorrow from 10 to 11 on Next Man Up. So he will be our pseudo guest host. He won't be here for the full 3 hours, but he's going to come in. We're going to talk Vandy. We'll talk some Titans with Kevin Ingram. So that'll be the 10 o'clock hour tomorrow on the show. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, you can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to wrap up the college football conversation coming up next. I ran into this article yesterday from Adam Rittenberg at ESPN called the College Football Impatience Index. And I thought this was just a really interesting way of looking at how fan bases treat their programs. Because in the NFL, fan bases are all kind of the same. Like there are some that are more, have higher expectations, but it's pro football. For college football, it all depends on what the program has been in the past and what you hope they are in the future. So we'll dive into that a little bit on the other side. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport with you today here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday, wrapping up hour number two. Jake Lyman live out here in Murfreesboro at Floyd Stadium for MTSU Media Days. Gotten a chance to talk with Blue Raiders quarterback Nick Vadiato, head coach Derek Mason. Been a fun day out here at Floyd Stadium. Teron Davenport with me today for the inaugural TD Tuesdays, as we will have Teron Davenport with us every Tuesday here on the program. TD, we're going to get back into Titans coming up at 11, but quickly I wanted to go through this article from Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. talking about the impatience of college football fan bases and where some of these programs stand, because college football is so different from the NFL, where, you know, in the NFL, yeah, the Titans and Cowboys fan bases might have different expectations for their teams, but everybody's going for the same goal. Everybody wants to win the Super Bowl. In college football, it's like you talk to somebody who's a fan of Syracuse, getting to the ACC championship might be the greatest thing that they could imagine for their team right now. But for Ohio State, they wanted Ryan Day fired last year after being the 8th seed in the college football playoff. So looking at this article, the one team that he mentions as the title or bust category is Penn State. And I thought it fitting. You know, James Franklin here at Vanderbilt in Nashville for a long time. And the one thing with James Franklin is he can't win the big game.
Big one, yeah.
And they are the only team listed here in this article as championship or bust. Do you think that's fair, TD, to put them in that category? Like, they do have all the talent, but it is tough to win a chance. Like, it might be the hardest sport in all of America to win a championship in is college football. And just because you don't win the title if you're Penn State doesn't mean it was a failure of a season.
I don't think it necessarily means it was a failure of a season, but you got to look. Like, this is a team that they always field one of the best rosters. They
right.
always have blue-chip players. They have all of the things that you want, right? You heard Derek Mason talk about the facility and how that builds brotherhood and everything. They have everything you want at Penn State, everything. So I think it's right to have that type of expectation. But at the same time, I don't think it's a disappointment if they don't win the national championship.
Yeah, Penn State, you look at this year and you think maybe this is the year they finally break through, because there isn't a juggernaut in college football this year. Like, Texas looks like they're going to be very good, but with an unproven quarterback. Ohio State, very good, unproven quarterback. Penn State has Drew Aller, who, if he came out this year, I don't think he would have been the number one pick. I think Cam Ward still goes number one over Drew Aller, but I think there's a good chance Drew Aller's the second quarterback taken if he comes out this year. And you've got great running backs, Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen.
Mm-hmm.
The defense, you lose Abdul Carter, but it does seem like Penn State just cycles in new defensive linemen every single year who end up going in the top 10. So maybe this is the year that they need to make a run, but it just feels unfair. And I would love to know from Penn State fans, do they feel that way, that like, hey, if Franklin doesn't win a title in the next couple of years, then they need to move on?
I think they absolutely feel that way. Just in talking, I got friends, you know, back home that are Penn State fans, and that's exactly the case. But here's the thing with James Franklin. The big thing is winning that big game, right? That's an issue, right? He's 4-20 against teams ranked in the top 10,
yep.
You know, so that's something where you talk about patience. Yeah, you want to have patience, but hey, man, you got to show me something against the teams who have a roster that's as good as or better than you. Don't get fat off of the lesser teams in the conference. I want you to go beat a team that's on the same par as you. Go beat Oregon. Go beat an Ohio State.
Penn State made it to the CFP semifinals this year, but I think a lot of that can be attributed to the side of the bracket they ended up on.
Yeah.
The two teams they had to beat were SMU and Boise State, two teams that a little over a year ago were not playing power conference football. Obviously, Boise State still is not. So this is a big year for Penn State. Again, this is an article from Adam Rittenberg of ESPN, kind of putting different fan bases into tiers based on their impatience. He has Florida and USC under the seeking a college football breakthrough tier. I think that's fair. Like, Napier and Lincoln Riley, those are two guys that if they don't put themselves at least in the playoff conversation late in the season, that might be where they need to make a change. Florida, Napier almost would have been gone last year if he didn't make the change to Lagway. And with USC, it's like Lincoln Riley always has great quarterbacks, and he develops the quarterbacks pretty well, but the teams just don't win enough games.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You could be known as a quarterback developer, but at the end of the day, that's not what your school wants to be known. And your school wants to be known as a competitive team that wins championships, and that's what he has to get done. So, obviously, it's going to be tough, right, with the Big Ten being stretched across the country now. But there's no excuse, right? You got to play. I think they had a pretty good recruiting class, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't they land one of the top recruits? I think a lineman. They landed him. And, you know, they got to continue to build.
Yeah, USC is – they're kind of the sleeping giant in the Big Ten that could make the Big Ten competitive with the SEC again, because the SEC is deep. And we've had this conversation of – you're not only looking at the top-tier teams of your Texases, your Georgias, your Alabamas, but you've got LSU who's always competitive. You've got Tennessee who's always in the conversation. Florida. The Big Ten is pretty top-heavy with Penn State, like we mentioned, Oregon, Michigan, Ohio State. But if some of these teams that historically have had success, like a USC or Wisconsin or Washington, if those teams can get back to being in college football's elite, that puts the Big Ten at least in the same conversation as the SEC.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you want to see happen. I want to see another conference that's on par with the SEC. So it's not just domination from that one conference. And I know I'm in SEC territory. I get
right.
it. I get it. But it's nice to have, you know, a General Zod to your Superman. You know what I'm saying? And that's all I'm asking for.
Right, right. Right now, the Big Ten, I think, is the only group that thinks they're on par with the SEC. It's possible for them to get there, but you're going to need some of these programs that have all this money and all this investment in this history. They've got to actually start, you know, capitalizing on that. And USC is definitely one of those. Last tier here that I wanted to hit on, they put return on investment tier, which they put Miami, LSU, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech in there. And Texas Tech feels like the outlier, but then you just remember that, oh, Texas Tech, they've got all this oil money, and they're pouring it into their football team. They paid a 17-year-old left tackle $5 million guaranteed before he even played his senior year of high school. So Texas Tech is a team to look out for the next couple of years. You want to talk about this new era of college football, and can a school just buy themselves into the top level of college football? Texas Tech is the team that's trying it out right now.
They are trying for sure, and we'll see how it works. But, I mean, another team listed in there is Miami, and
yep.
They bought quarterbacks the last 2 years, right? They were able to get Cameron Ward, who obviously, you know, had Florida State on his mind, but ended up going there. And then Carson Beck, I mean, that's no low price tag to get him up in there. So, yeah, you definitely want to see a return on the investment with Beck working with Randy Shannon and that offensive crew.
Yeah, $4 million for Carson Beck. They take the guy who was largely expected to be the number one overall pick in the 2025 draft to replace the actual number one overall pick mm-hmm. in the 2025 draft. So lots of storylines in college football. It is getting here, folks. We are 18 days away from the first college football of the year with week zero. And then right around the corner, it'll be Labor Day weekend. We'll have a full weekend of college football, including the debuts for Tennessee against Syracuse in Atlanta, Vanderbilt taking on Charleston Southern right here in Nashville. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up in the final hour of today's program, we'll get back into the Titans. This is a big week for Cam Ward. Ward going down to Tampa, not only for his first preseason game, but for joint practices on Thursday. What do we want to see from the number one overall pick this week for the Titans? We will talk about that next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.